Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon text tonight is the first seven verses of the book of the prophet Haggai. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So far our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would set us apart from this world so that we might see the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, how many of you have projects at home? If you're a homeowner, I would imagine that you have some projects to do. If you're crafty, maybe it's an afghan or a quilt or a painting of some sort that you've been wanting to do. But whatever the project might be, I'm guessing that if you're like me, you often have a pretty good idea of how you want to start out. And you probably have a pretty good idea of what you want the end product to be like. It's just that part in the middle that's tough, right? The middle. Preparing for the middle. That's a life skill that probably needs to be taught. Preparing for the middle is hard to do, but it's truly necessary if you're going to take a project from beginning to completion. The season of Advent is upon us. It has begun, and during this season we remember the beginning, the humble birth of Jesus. We remember the end when we're told that Jesus will return with the sound of the trumpet and great glory, all his angels. But we, fellow redeemed, live in the middle. In the hard part. We live right in the middle of God's great project, and unlike us, he knows exactly how to bring us through that, but we don't see it. And it's we who need to prepare. God certainly wants us each year to think about the beginning, about Christmas, about Jesus' birth. What all of that means. He certainly wants us each year to think about his return, but he also wants us to prepare for the middle, prepare for every part. So this evening, we're going to start out the Advent season by focusing on the middle part. I know it's a little bit out of order, but I think it'll make more sense as we approach Christmas and think about the beginning then. So to prepare our hearts, we're going to turn back the clock tonight to the time of the prophet Haggai. He lived at an interesting time in Israel's history. He lived in a middle time, sort of like we're living in. Israel had returned from the promised land, had returned to the promised land from their exile in Babylon. And it was like a new beginning for them. They were starting over again from scratch. They were still waiting also for the fulfillment of all of God's promises. They were waiting in anticipation for the Messiah, for the Savior. And so they were in the middle. Haggai was sent by God to prevent them, to prepare them, for the middle. And his words through the prophet do that for us as well. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Well, it had been 16 years already by this point since that big wave of captives had returned to Canaan. And it would be another 500 some years before Jesus arrived on the scene. So this is definitely the middle of the story. And it had been 16 years since the people came back and they had not yet rebuilt the temple. For 16 years, they had been content to go without the kind of worship that God had commanded them to have. For 16 years, they deprived themselves and the peoples around them of all of those beautiful pictures of what the Messiah would do for them. And they didn't seem to care an awful lot that this was the case. It seemed logical, after all. None of them had been in the temple. The Babylonian exile lasted about 70 years, so there were very few of the grandparents even who had actually been in the temple. They'd grown up in Babylon. They had grown up surrounded by those technological marvels of the day there, the fantastic architecture. They were steeped in this culture of a cosmopolitan world of opportunities and decadence and a world-class economy. They prospered while they were in Babylon, and they had seen little need for the blood and guts of the sacrifices. And when they returned to Canaan, they didn't find a whole lot there. The Babylonians had razed the countryside. They found very little. A hard life lay before them. And so they naturally went about first rebuilding their towns and cities and their homes and their economy. This is our first impulse too. It's not natural to think first of God when we consider the use of our time and our abilities and our finances. And yet God would have us do just that. He spoke to Haggai and told him to tell the people, consider your ways. Think about this very carefully. In Hebrew, the word doesn't mean analyze this, figure it out with numbers. It's talking about with the heart. In other words, we're being asked tonight to prioritize, to think about what is right, and not according to what's expedient and profitable for us. Life in the middle is about prioritizing. It's about prioritizing our lives on the basis of faith. The most famous passage for these people were these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. The Israelites who heard Haggai, they knew these commandments. And they knew these promises. And yet they were living as though these words were not of much import to them. Having fine homes was more important to them than rebuilding the center of all that had made them God's children, the worship of the Lord. Life in the middle must not be about living for the here and now. As Christians in the middle of Advent, we ought to hear the prophet too and his words, consider, consider. Have we not become altogether too focused on the things of this world? How much time do we spend toiling for stuff, working on stuff, improving stuff, cleaning stuff, and so on? And we need to do some of that, but how much time do we spend making sure that God's word can be preached and heard and that we can worship? How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend with his word? If we spend our time focused on the here and now, we can probably see it in this light. And when that light makes plain mixed up priorities, this is exactly what Haggai meant, consider your ways. Haggai was calling the Israelites to repentance when he spoke to them. And when they realized that they had neglected the temple, they realized that they were putting the transitory things of this world and this life first. And all that stuff is passing away. None of it is of any value in the eternity that awaits us. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. When the Israelites realized this, they also heard the promises of the Lord again. Through the prophet Haggai, God called the Israelites not to wallow in their guilt, not to spend their time thinking about all the times they had messed up. God called them to turn from their ways and live. He called them to action in his kingdom, and he called them to prepare the place once again where the light of the gospel would be shown to the world until his appearing, until Jesus himself, the Messiah, would walk in the temple courts that they would build. Till Jesus himself would come into that place and be what they most needed, what we most need. One who had all his priorities straight. One who was perfect in every way. One who was God in the flesh. One who could give himself in our place to pay for our sins and to redeem us from all of this transitory stuff for himself, for an eternal life in heaven with him, until Jesus himself would come into that place and be the conquering victor over the power of the devil. And he would do that by being the victim to pay once and for all for every sin. And he came to be the rising sun on that Easter morning to defeat death. There's a profound reason that God calls Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything that God does begins and ends in Christ. And this period in Israel's history begins with the return from exile. It's like a resurrection of the nation. And this period ends with his arrival at the temple. For us, the period of time we live in begins with Jesus dying in our place and paying for our sins and rising from the dead and ascending into heaven. And it ends with his return on the last day. God made Israel to be that picture over and over for all the world to see, so that when the fullness of time had come, when God had sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, when God had given this picture to the world, it happened. And when he had done that, he made the middle make sense for for all of us. We live in the middle of his story, between the beginning and the end, right in the midst of his grace, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, hearing him in his word, receiving him in his sacraments. This is why the temple was to be rebuilt. And this is why it was important. That's why this place, too, must be kept, so that the preaching of the good news can continue here until he should return on that great and glorious day. Fellow redeemed, especially tonight, let us consider our ways as we live in the middle. Let us consider God's way, the truth, and the life. Let us put that into practice as we live here in the middle, waiting and preparing for his return, celebrating how he came once to save us. Not living for the stuff that's passing away, but rather using it to draw attention to that often unseen grace of our God. To him be the glory, forever and ever, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.